Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in to Sports Time. Brian and Brett with you as we start our second hour on this Thursday afternoon. We've got to talk some NBA, and joining us like he does every single week, it's Keith Smith.
Time to talk NBA with Keith Smith from Spot Rack and the Front Office Show. And on Twitter X at Keith Smith NBA. Here's Keith Smith talking basketball with Bryant and Brett.
Keith Smith joins us now to talk all things NBA from Spot Rack and the Front Office Show. Keith, thanks so much for joining us. A lot to discuss. But let's start with the play-in. These last two nights of play-in action have been a ton of fun to watch. Four really entertaining games, and it really feels like the play-in tournament, for the most part, has worked.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, if we go back to what they wanted to accomplish with the play-in tournament was to give teams that had felt like maybe we've fallen out of the race something to play for at the end of the year. And I think it's created all these kind of fun extra races. Now you've got top seed and top four for home court advantage and top six to be in the playoffs. And then, you know, you want to be in the 7-8 game, so you get the second chance at it. It's all really great stuff. And then, yeah, this is, someone will correct me and probably tell me I'm wrong, but for my money, these last couple days have been the best four playing games we've had. I mean, they all came, you know, almost down to the end. The one was fairly close, but I mean, Sixers pulled away is what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. But the others were all really close, and it was a great couple nights of basketball.
Keith, do you think or fear that with expansion, they will want to expand the play-in rounds?
I hope not, because it's already, I mean, I get it. It's a little silly that in a 30-team league, 20 teams are kind of in the postseason. That feels a little bit overdone already. Over half the league makes the playoffs. So let's just keep it where it is. You know, you can keep everything exactly how it is with the both the play-in tournament and the playoffs. And we don't need to mess around with it at all.
Brian and I remarked about it. It was really historic TV nights for the league with that new big, fat, great deal. And with it being on streaming, on pay-per-view.
Yeah, minus the technical difficulties during the Hornets Heat game. But that happens, you know, and I know everybody kind of jumped all over Amazon as if, you know, ESPN and TNT and even NBC have never, you know, had a bump in the road. But, you know, they got it fixed and it seemed to be okay. But, yeah, I mean, it's been really good stuff. And, it is tough, though. I get, you know, I've had a lot of people, you know, saying, well, I don't like that these first round games are now going to be on Prime and they're no longer in the local markets are not doing the first round anymore in that. And I do understand where people are coming from. And I get people fire back at me. Everybody has Amazon Prime. I have like six members of my own family who don't have it, you know, so it's not everybody has it. Not everybody can get there, so it is, you know, kind of difficult. But, you know, this is the way the things are going now. This is the way of the world, and, you know, we just got to kind of move along with it.
Boy, can you imagine that some broadcast engineer, wherever the Amazon Prime set up where they are, and he gets the call on line two is Jeff Bezos during the technical issues. Ooh.
Yeah, I'd be simultaneously texting my wife to make sure, hey, let's not spend any more money and let's, you know, make sure we get the finances in order.
Stop the spending now.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Did you think there was any chance, especially in these the 9-10 matchups, that maybe a team would kind of, you know, phone it in and say, look, you know, we're not going to beat one of these number one seeds if we even make it out of the play-in. Might as well just lose this game and get a lottery pick. Because it really didn't feel like we saw that. And I didn't really think we would see a ton of it, but there was kind of a little in the back of my head, of like, maybe we could see one of these teams with how strong this draft is. Did you think there was any chance we could see something like that?
No, for sure. It's a fair question. Now, what's helped is the Clippers don't have their pick, so sure, we knew it wasn't going to be them. the Warriors, some would argue maybe they should do that in a draft where they own their own pick, but that's too proud of a veteran group to do that. The Hornets, they really want to get into the playoffs themselves because they are like, you know, kind of, you know, really like we want that experience for this group. And then I think the Heat, that's just not an organization who does that. And you know, we can call whatever we want, but I think you start tanking the play-in tournament, I think the basketball gods are going to have something to say to you, you know, on lottery night. I know it worked for the Mavericks last year, is how everybody feels, but, I mean, they were trying to win that play-in game and just didn't because they weren't very good and they didn't have anybody left healthy. So I think it's definitely a potential consideration, but I don't think it's something anybody really wants to do.
You mentioned that Hornets team, and the way that they won that game was really remarkable. Some big time shots.
Tried hard not to.
Yeah, I mean, Konkan Ipple really struggled. You know, you had LaMelo Ball with his struggles from deep in that game. But this really feels like a team, like you said, they want to get in that playoffs because this feels like a core that okay, you're in the play in this year. Maybe you make it out of the play in, and you see a full series against one of those top teams. But they could really use this for next year when they are really going to have hopes to be one of those top six protected seeds.
Yeah, I think what's, you know, but, you know, bummer about this is we went through all this and then they, you know, everybody's been like all about the Hornets and all fired up for them. And then LaMelo Ball did his best to undo all that goodwill by tripping Bam Adebayo. And don't get, you know, don't make a mistake. Whatever nonsense he mumbled out about, I didn't really know where I was. Like, okay, then could you know, credit to the reporter who said, so you had a concussion then. He's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what a concussion is. Like, you know, that was complete nonsense. You tripped the guy. He should be suspended for the next game. It's ridiculous that he's not because he would have now a retroactive flagrant two means the NBA says, yeah, he should have been ejected. And, you know, but it is what it is. We, you know, let's move past it because I think this Hornets team is a lot of fun. I think, you know, everybody – who watches them has a lot of fun watching them. So, you know, I really am hoping, you know, that they can, you know, get this win as much as, you know, it'll pain the folks here in my local Orlando. If it drives change to the Magic franchise, I think people would be okay with taking the loss because I think everybody knows that neither one of these teams, really any of the team that comes out of the play-in, none of them are going to challenge the Thunder or the Spurs or the Pistons or the Celtics. There's just too big of a gap there, but at least for the Hornets, it'll really mean something if they make it to the playoffs.
Keith, give us the temperature of local Orlando sports talk radio about the Magic. How much change do you think they're trying to affect?
Yeah, not to upset you all here, but I do commit a little radio adultery now again, and do a little bit of your radio here in Orlando too. But it is, you know, it's tough. They're frustrated, you know, and the fans had really bought into this team over the last 2 years. For one of the only times outside of the Dwight Howard-led team that went to the finals, you were starting to see a lot of Magic stuff around town. And this is the first – I mean, it's been a decade and a half since those Dwight Howard teams. And this Magic team, what you have now is the first generation of real Magic fans that they grew up here in Orlando. They didn't move into town like I did. They, you know, a lot of them grew up here. They're the ones that are buying the tickets and going to the games and all that. And they love this team, and they were really fired up for this group. And now they're frustrated because they thought getting Desmond Bane last summer was like, all right, that's the piece that's going to put us from we're a nice team that's made the playoffs into we're going to be a contender. We're going to be pushing to make the NBA Finals. And it's all gone sideways with them. They're ready for the coach to be gone. Some of them are ready for the front office to be gone, and you're starting to hear more chirping about some of the players, some of the guys you would have thought fans would have kind of put on the untouchable list. The handful of them are, they're kind of done with them too. So if they get down against the Hornets tomorrow night early, it's going to turn real ugly in the building.
Ooh, it sounds like it's really been mostly driven by the star, isn't it, Banchero?
Yeah, I mean, he has not had the year that many thought, you know, he would. Last year, a lot of the things that people were willing to excuse were he missed so much time with injuries. Then beyond that, you had that he went and he although they got bounced out pretty quickly by Boston, he played really well himself and really was like, hey, I can carry a team. And then this year, it was really an efficient basketball. He did not play well. He struggled throughout the course of the year. And then now it was, you know, Franz Wagner. People are like, is he ever going to be healthy? We're, you know, 3 years in a row of injuries with him. They're frustrated with Jalen Suggs for similar reasons. Also that he's not a point guard. And then you've got, on top of that, you've got Banchero had, you know, very publicly is chirped at the coaching staff and a little bit to the front office. And there's been some, you know, reporting that privately, it sounds like he has said, hey, if there aren't changes to this coaching staff, you know, maybe I'm going to be the one who asks for a change. So what was a fun story the last couple of years has turned into a pretty ugly story here in the last little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it does not seem like it is going in the right direction. It feels like something big would have to happen for Jamal Mosley to keep his job with kind of everything that's going on down there. What kind of direction do you think Orlando would go, and kind of what type of coach do you think they would look for if they are forced to make a move this offseason?
Yeah, you guys know we've talked about this for years now. You can't fire all the players, so what do? They fire the coach. And I think what you would see the Magic do is first move would be move on from Jamal Mosley. I don't know if the front office will have changes or not, but it'll be get in a new coach, and it'll be a let's get a win now coach in here, a coach who's maybe been there, done that, and has had some success in the league with getting a team not just to the playoffs, but deeper into the playoffs than showing up in the first round. And that's what they'll be looking for, because I don't think, you know, if this front office stays, they are not ready to start a full-scale teardown. They don't want to do that, but I do think they are ready to start, you know, moving things in a little bit of a different direction on the sideline.
Mm-hmm. The news earlier today that both Luka Doncic and Cade Cunningham have won their appeals. They will be eligible for the postseason awards despite not playing the 65-game minimum. What did you make of that news, and do you think the NBA made the right decision?
Yeah, let's start with me kind of here begging people to, before they hop on social media and start chirping about a bunch of stuff they don't know what they're talking about, maybe look into it first. Because, mm-hmm. you know, now I realize that's going to fall on deaf ears because, you know, the people who do that, they don't think they're the ones who do that. But it is true that, like, people went screaming and yelling about, oh, my gosh, you didn't like who's eligible, so now you're changing your rules. This has existed since it was collectively bargained that there is a way to challenge for, you know, eligibility if you feel like you are in a position where it is, you know, something extraordinary kept you off. I think in this case, Luka Doncic, all right, I fully am supportive of, you know, giving him credit for the two games that he missed for the birth of his child, especially since he had to travel overseas for that. I'm not going to, you know, get too angry. Where I do fall is, yeah, but you also fell short because you can't stop running your mouth at the officials, mm-hmm. and you got yourself suspended. So I'm going to guess this is a one-time deal for Luka. Anything beyond this, that, you know, I think these appeals will fall on deaf ears next time. And then Cade Cunningham, that one I am fully supportive of, because Cade Cunningham was zipping right along. He had not done a lot of load management stuff, and he just suffered this really weird injury a couple games away from being eligible, and he certainly was going to get there. There was no messing around with, you know, him and all that stuff, so I'm happy that he is in there. Anthony Edwards, that one's a little harder because, you know, but there was a decent amount of load management going on with him. So I'm guessing that's why they felt, you know, hey, you might not have gotten there anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think they, you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, say they got it right. But, yeah, it is a little bit interesting that this is, you know, kind of where we're at with these, you know, appeals being playing out this close to the ballots being due.
Keith, kind of give me the pie chart. Divvy it up. Right now in Orlando on local sports talk radio, is it wall-to-wall Magic? What would be the percentage of conversation right now? I always like to know that locally.
College football, first and foremost, always.
Same here.
Here. You know, it doesn't matter when it is. I'll tell you a quick story. When I first moved here, Bobby Bowden's son, Terry, was our radio guy.
Yeah.
Here. He's a local radio guy here, and he And I turned his show on. First time I found the local sports radio. First topic they took from a caller, and this was in May, was, you know, Terry, I'm really worried about FSU's third-string tackle depth. What's your dad going to do about that? Where I'm from in Massachusetts, you're lucky if they know who BC's quarterback is. And I was just blown away. You know, and it is, you know, we're in a spot here where it's, you know, college football is king. Then they'll work in a little bit of NFL. They'll do a little bit of other stuff. The Magic, though, have grown. They are getting a little bit, you know, more buzz. They have picked up quite a bit of, you know, support here in the city. So it's probably college football still is taking up the most air in the room. But, you know, the Magic right now, especially because people are so fired up and upset about the way things have gone, they're pushing equal, but that'll go by the wayside within a week of the season ending.
Mm. That is funny stuff. Looking at the first round matchups that we already know, what matchup jumps out to you? Are you kind of the most intrigued by?
Yeah, Denver, Minnesota. Mm. Like I'm fired up for that one because we've seen the Timberwolves give the Nuggets a lot of trouble. And this isn't like let's go back 20 years and play. Like this is like within these core groups together. Now they're different teams. I fully get that, and the Nuggets are coming in healthier into the playoffs, and I'll knock on wood that hopefully that stays, but that's the one that I think, you know, Denver winning that game in San Antonio really did themselves no favors because now they get the Timberwolves in the first round. They're going to have to go on the road to San Antonio very likely in the second round. Yeah, they would have had to go on the road to the Thunder in the second round had they gone in the other half of the bracket, but I mean that Minnesota team has, you know, been built to. They were built to beat the Nuggets, and they were very upfront that that's what they built that team to do. And it's going to be really fun watching that one play out.
Your Celtics, are they just charting out the parade route path?
Yeah, I mean I don't want to pull out the old quote of like, hey, don't worry about beating these guys because we've been beating them forever, but. There is a little bit with that, with the Sixers in the first round. Now, charting out a full parade route, I don't know about that. I think they feel good about their chances to move forward and win the Eastern Conference. But they know whoever you get in the West, whether it's OKC, San Antonio, or if it is Denver, you're getting a monster coming out of the West. I think what the Celtics are open for is, you know, hey, we just got to do what we do. We've been there, done that. Of the teams in the Eastern Conference with a lot of this core group, let's just get after it. Let's go get it, do it again. And I think that had been building as the year went along. But then when Jason Tatum returned, it has looked really, quite frankly, like Jason Tatum. Like there's not anything that feels off at all. Now I think they are very ready to just, you know, or feel very confident in, all right, this is our conference to go out and win.
Keith, you just showed what a classy professional you are because I gave you on the tee. I mean, it was better than any coach pitch tee ball out there. You could have said parade route. We don't keep a parade route. We know what it is in Boston. We've done it so many times.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, it runs right down
for every sport.
Yeah, and the duck boats. Yeah, it was funny. We were talking about it a little bit in the car ride actually today. My daughter and I. On our way to soccer practice, and she says, and she was going over and like, you know, well, I haven't seen this team do anything yet, and I haven't seen this team do anything yet. And I'm like, God, you're only, you know, almost 16 years old, and boy, are you spoiled as a sports fan. You've seen an awful lot of winning already.
And Keith, I badly want to go to Chestnut Hill someday to a BC game.
Yeah, that's like the hole for me in my sports fandom that like I just need them to figure it out. And you know, I had such high hopes, but I feel like the school is kind of taking this approach of it feels like they're, you know, a glorified version of a Patriot League team at this point. They, you know, unless they start pumping the money into this, I just don't know, you know, how we're gonna get there and over the top with either football or basketball. And it's sad because it was, you know, I've known as a BC guy for a very long time. And one of my earlier memories is the Doug Flutie Hail Mary and sitting there with my uncles being like, he caught it. No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He did. He's, you know, and screaming and yelling. in my grandparents' family room, and it was, and they've had moments where they've been pretty good, and I know they're not going to probably ever build that sustainable winner that is, 10, 11, 12 wins a year, but, I hope every year that they can get it figured out, but that's hope now that I'm very much clinging to there.
Yeah,
Keith, I promise I'm not being patronizing. I won't say lobby, but I have remarked through the years, Doug Flutie should be in Canton. It is the Pro Football Hall of Fame with what he did.
Yep.
USFL, NFL, and CFL, he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is not the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton.
Yeah, I agree with that. You come across the greatest CFL player list, and he's always, pretty highly mentioned on there. So yeah, you're certainly not going to get any our arguments out of me against Doug Flutie on just about anything.
No. Last thing for you, Keith, before we let you go, I'm curious your thoughts on this matchup between the Hawks and the Knicks. I might have gotten a little ahead of myself earlier in today's show and already predict that the Hawks will beat the Knicks.
You got wiggle room for picks tomorrow
in the round. I'm not going to change it now, but what do you make of this matchup between Atlanta and New York?
I'm worried about how Atlanta is going to deal with New York in the paint. When they want to, the Knicks can really go down and do some work inside. It's not just Karl-Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson. Mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson is a terrific paint scorer for a little guard. Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, those guys can do some work down inside. So, I am curious to see what Atlanta does because it's in Onyeka Okongwu and not a whole lot else going on inside because Jock Landale is hurt. So I'm very curious to see, how they can pull that, together inside. They have stuff they can do. Jalen Johnson's really good. They've got different matchups for Brunson with Dyson Daniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker that they can throw at him. And the Hawks can shoot the ball. So I think this is going to be a really fun series. But I'm just a little nervous that they're going to get overwhelmed inside with, Towns and Robinson and then Brunson getting downhill. But yeah, it should be a pretty good one. I'm fired up for the playoffs. Just, these 2 days are two great days because you turn on the TV around noontime and that's it. You sit there for the rest of the day and you got basketball all the way until you fall asleep and go to bed.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. But Keith, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy all of these games. And we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
Keith Smith joining us to talk all things NBA as we've already had two nights of play-in action. We'll wrap up the play-in tomorrow night, and then we will get into the playoffs starting on Saturday. And like we talked about already, three of those four games on Saturday on Prime Video. But let's get to another break, and when we return, we'll talk some Major League Baseball. Already a lot of finals around MLB today. We'll talk about some of the action from last night as well. We'll do that next on Sports Time.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Back in Sports Time, Brian Brett with you, and we gotta talk some Major League Baseball. Already four final scores in the books, actually five finals for the day. You've got the Nationals, who beat the Pirates on the road, needed 10 innings to do it, 8-7 the final score there. Giants, 3-0 winner over the Reds, another road victory there. The Angels, an 11-4 win over the Yankees, a third road win of the day. You had the Rays with a 5-3 win over the White Sox on the road. And then, so far, the only home team to win, the Brewers, with a 2-1 win over the Blue Jays and the Brewers. That was a come-from-behind victory as they got in a hole early, down 1-0 in the third, tied it in the fourth, then scored the winning run in the seventh inning. So some interesting results today. A couple games in action right now. The Royals up 8-7 over the Tigers, and the Rangers up 5-3 over the Athletics. So fun day in Major League Baseball so far.
Mike Trout had a series at Yankee Stadium, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
No, he absolutely did, and it's good to see. You know, Mike Trout is such a great player.
That's kind of back home for him.
Yeah, it is, and it's just been really unfortunate that, you know, his career has involved so many injuries, and we talk about, you know, how good of a player he is, but the lack of postseason appearances that he has. But so far, it's been a nice season for him, up to 7 home runs, 16 RBI, and yeah, he looked really, really good in this series against the Yankees.
And don't look now, but in the National League Central, in the all-important loss column, the St. Louis Cardinals tied for first and the Cubs in last, as predicted.
That's right, yes. You predicted that before the season starts, so you're looking good so far, and we'll see if...
Who else had that?
Nobody.
Squadoosh.
I can guarantee you that you're on an island with that one, and so... we'll see what it looks like.
It feels very deserted as well.
Yes, I that does not surprise me, but we'll see what
it feels more like, the Isle of Misfit Toys.
Yeah, that is pretty accurate, but
a cold island. You know I love cold.
Yeah, oh no, you love the cold weather, that's for sure. But we'll see what it looks like this weekend, road series for the Cardinals against the Houston Astros. If they can get a couple road wins, then maybe really work in with something. But back-to-back road series for the Cardinals, the Astros, and the Marlins before they return home against Seattle, a game that you'll be at, or a series you'll be at, Brett, next weekend. So that will be a lot of fun for you. And you'll get a look at the Mariners and your preseason MVP pick, Julio Rodriguez.
I will. I think this is a good time to catch the Mariners. Yeah. Much rather play them now than in September. They're going to get it figured out. I don't know that Houston will. They've won two in a row. But that's the two out of the last ten, the only two out of the last ten that they've won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they've struggled.
Or the last eight, 2-8 in the last ten.
Yeah, they've struggled to start the season, and we've talked a lot about them. You know, it's been a lot of injuries that have really derailed the start of the season for them. And so slowly starting to get some guys back, and hopefully that will help them, and maybe they can start figuring some things out. But you know, you look at a couple of big-time pitchers that are on the IL right now, and that certainly has been hurting them. But you know, talk about the Mariners. They were the story of the night last night as they had a big lead, and then just like that, it all went away. 6-0 going into the sixth inning. San Diego scores 2 runs in the bottom of the sixth, and then 5 in the bottom of the ninth to win that game at home last night. 7-6, Andrés Muñoz, who's been really good the last couple of years for Seattle. A really, really rough outing for him last night, and a win for San Diego.
Craig Stammen, the Padre manager, if you get in the manager game.
That?
That's a tough one.
Very tough one. But they're off to a nice start, 12-6. For the Padres, and a really impressive win for them. That is back-to-back wins for San Diego.
And Shohei puts on another show last night. I sincerely think it's the biggest story in American sports.
Mm-hmm.
But is it a big story in American sports if nobody's talking about it?
Yeah, I mean it's weird because we I think we always talk about it with like MVP voting in different sports. If you kind of have that voter fatigue, if you kind of get, you know, it just seems normal to you. Kind of the how big and how great it is kind of wears off when it's so consistent. And that's what Shohei has been, especially coming back to the mound. Another really, really impressive performance.
He goes to the moon every day.
Exactly. And so it just feels like a lot of people just aren't as surprised anymore when they see it. But 10 strikeouts last night, only 2 hits allowed, only pitching last night. It was the first time since when he was back in with the Angels that he hasn't pitched and hit. So he was out of the lineup, but made it look easy on the mound against that Mets team that really, really struggling, 7-12 now on the year.
I mean, just the hitting story, the DH playing outfield, how he runs the bases, how he – the ultimate – well, is he – 6'7" tool player.
Yeah, man, he is. I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, to be doing
that's a big toolbox.
Yeah, I mean, and there were people that seriously were having conversations when he was injured and trying to rehab his arm of if Shohei Ohtani gets to a point where he says, I can't pitch coming off of this injury and I can only be a bat. There were people that are saying, we're okay with the amount of money he is making that the Dodgers
right.
are paying
him. We had it in it was ludicrous mm-hmm. what we were advancing last September of no, don't start him, don't risk it. And he was yep. great in October
he was.
Pitching.
No, he absolutely was. And so, you know, when you are that good, just as a bat, to say, hey, we're paying you to be a pitcher and a bat for us, but if you never pitch again, we'll be completely fine with all the money that we're paying you. But then to rehab it and come out this season and look lights out through three starts, that's 2-0, a .50 ERA, a .72 whip. Through three starts, 18 strikeouts in those three starts. So it has been really, really impressive.
Now, but, he hadn't started an all-star game yet, has he, as a pitcher?
I don't believe so.
Neither nationally or American League. What if in the all-star games in Philadelphia this summer, so he goes out to the mound to pitch the top of the first, and then he's the leadoff batter in the bottom of the first.
Yeah, I think you could probably see that, and that would be really incredible. I think if you do that, I think that's how you should do it, because I think it would be make it as big of a story as you can and make it as big.
We
of a
want
scene
the American
possible.
League leadoff batter to be Mike Trout, kind of back home, back in that
cool
New Jersey, Philly area.
Definitely. So, yeah, I mean, I think you could have a
Jersey guy like Greg Gaston come
that?
Up at five.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, yeah, you could certainly have a lot.
And I think the Phillies were Trout's team as a little guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. So that could be a lot of fun if you had leadoff batter Mike Trout and leadoff batter Shohei Ohtani, who just came off the mound against his former
batting
teammate.
Second Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it would be it'd be a lot of fun.
It gets people watching.
Yeah, no, it absolutely would. So
baseball's in a good spot to be heading straight to the cliff, aren't they?
Yeah, no, I mean the season has been great so far. It has been
but
a lot of fun to watch.
Full steam ahead to go right over the cliff in a fiery crash.
It is, and
first time I've mentioned talking about next year. I'm gonna stop.
No, I mean we talked about we're gonna enjoy the season as much as we can, and then we'll worry about next season when it gets here. But before we get off the topic of the Dodgers, because Shohei, even with how great he was, he really wasn't even the biggest story of that game last night, because Dalton Rushing steps in as the designated hitter for them, hits two home runs in that game last night. Two home runs, four RBI for him. He's now batting 529 on the season with four home runs. And I did not know this. I learned this earlier this morning from Memphis, Tennessee. Dalton Rushing, the catcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, played at Brighton High School before going to Louisville, and now in the lineup for the LA Dodgers. So definitely a cool story there with some very much local ties, and he had a huge game. And of course, and I'm sure John Harden talked about it on his show, first thing he says to me when he walked in this morning, not a hello, not a good morning, nothing. Did you bet on the Dodgers on Jackie Robinson night like I did? No, John, I did not. I did not. It was easy. I mean, you knew that
John's
they were going to win on Jackie Robinson
they have
night.
To.
And I was like, that's a great point. I wish I had thought of that last night instead of you telling it to me today. So,
yeah.
That's Johnny Radio.
Could have spread that around yesterday, couldn't
he? You know, it would have been nice to share the logic that he had yesterday going into
Landon, when are your Mets waking up? Now losers of eight straight.
I don't know if they will anytime soon.
Well, I mean, you know, it'll help.
Bats are cold.
It'll help to not play the Dodgers, you know? I mean, that'll help anybody.
Well, still, that's a long losing streak, and it wasn't just the Dodgers.
No, yeah, they didn't play them eight times. That's a good point.
No, they did not. But, you know, you look at the, you know, here's the difference, and here's my point, is the Yankees have played against the Angels this series, have looked awful against the Angels, but nobody's talking about them anymore because they snapped their losing streak. All you need is just to win a game, and then everyone forgets about that long losing streak, and it's, hey, let's get on a win streak, and there's
I
not
bet
as
that
much
media
talk
covering
about
them. Well,
that, I'm talking about nationally kind of here. I, you know, of course.
You get outside the Bronx.
Yeah, the New York media. I'm just talking about national media. I mean, for a while there, every top story across the country when it came to baseball was Yankees, Mets, both on these long losing streaks. And that comes to a quick end when they finally win a game.
I wonder now for home games at Yankee Stadium, I wonder how many people are in the clubhouse, print, radio, TV, covering the Yankees.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I really don't
I wonder
know.
What the number is, because you know, it used to be huge. I bet it still is.
Oh, yeah.
I just wonder what it is, though.
I'm sure it is. They certainly have a microscope on them at all times, being in that market. I'm sure it's a lot of
well, people.
And
it's good for business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they love their Yankees up there. But three games tonight around Major League Baseball: Orioles Guardians around 5 o'clock, Rockies Astros at 7, and then Mariners and Padres again tonight at 7:40. We'll see if we see another major comeback in that one tonight.
This hour brought to you every day by Landers Ford in Collierville. They're like the Dodgers. They're number one, the number one Ford dealership in the Mid-South. Landers Ford, your trusted destination for a vehicle that fits any lifestyle, every price point, with a seamless shopping experience from vehicle choice to financing to service. From the Ford Escape to the rugged F-150 to the adventurous Bronco, every vehicle built with those Ford tough standards. The Ford F-150, America's best-selling truck. SUVs like the Ford Bronco, the Ford Expedition, the Ford Explorer, the Ford Escape, EVs, hybrids, everything for the now and for the future with transparency. What you see is what you get. No fine print. It's all right there in bold with professionalism and long-term support at Landers Ford and long-term friendship. Oil changes, tires rotated, anything service, go online, schedule it, suits you the best. It'll be done quickly to meet your very busy schedule. Landers Ford, active in our community in Collierville at 2082 West Poplar Avenue, right there at the railroad tracks, or online at LandersFordMemphis.com. If it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much.
Well, we need to get to another break, and when we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
And she says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, Brett, my big number is the number 3, and it has to do with that Padres team and their walk-off win last night. The Padres, over the last week, had a walk-off grand slam by Bogarts, a walk-off 3-run home run by Sheets, and a walk-off 2-run double by Merrill. They're the first Major League Baseball team with 3 multi-run walk-off extra base hits in a span of 7 days or less since the 1975 World Champion Reds, who did
Big Red Machine.
That's right, who did it from June 27th to June 30th. So it has been a really impressive week for the Padres, and they've certainly been living on the edge.
Catcher Johnny Bench, third base Pete Rose, shortstop Dave Concepcion, second base Joe Morgan, first base Dave Dreesen, outfield Geronimo Foster. Who was the other guy? Not a great pitching staff,
really?
Big Red Machine through those years.
Well, when you got all but those bats.
You got the Big Red Machine.
Yeah, when you can score a bunch of runs.
Oh, we even have Griffey
helps.
Senior.
Oh,
Griffey
yeah,
Senior
sure,
on those
did.
Teams.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a good squad.
And I detested them. My brother and I would have raging, epic battles. I was trying to make – he loved Johnny Bench.
We're
number 5 in Pony League Baseball because of Johnny Bench. And we would have raging battles, me making the case. Ted Simmons is really better. Ted Simmons went to the Hall of Fame.
He's a good player, really good player.
But he wasn't better than Johnny Bench.
No, he was. And I don't think this Padres team is going to be better than that Big Red.
They could win 95 and be the 4 seed.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy.
My big number is 42. Yeah, let's pile on the Clippers. 42 years of the Clippers in L.A. Started in Buffalo, went to San Diego, landed in Los Angeles, won Western Conference Finals appearance. That was just a few years ago in 2021 when they lost to Phoenix. they've tried everything. They've tried Tyron Lue. They've tried Dr. Rivers. They've tried Mike Dunleavy. They tried Bill Fitch. Heck, they had Larry Brown. They've played everywhere. L.A. Sports Arena, that used to be right by the Coliseum near USC. They played at Staples / Crypto, sharing it with the Lakers, or the Lakers shared it with them. Now into it. And they're still a joke, 60-78 all time in L.A. as the Clippers in the playoffs.
Yeah, and it ended last night, and now because of that loss for the Clippers, the Oklahoma City Thunder going to receive
our
a lottery
great friend,
pick.
John Varlis, reminded me. I can't believe it. Tony Perez at first over Dreesen. That's correct.
Wow, how about
Tony
that?
Perez, one of the great 6th, 7th place hit behind the runners guy of all time.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, I mean, they had some dudes.
And when he would come to Memphis to see Eduardo play here.
Oh, that, wow, that would, yeah.
I mean, that's Tony Perez.
Oh, yeah. No, that is definitely a
good deal. And it wasn't very often because he was still coaching. I don't know if he ever managed. Did he ever run a team? But he was coached for a lot of people.
Mm, oh, yeah. I mean, that's some impressive names there. And
well, you think of the baseball IQ acumen of Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan. Well, every one of them. I'm naming them all again.
Yeah.
I mean, Davey Concepcion.
I mean, it's crazy.
And you got a manager like Sparky Anderson.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
It was. And reason I hated them because I hate them. They were just so good.
Yeah, that is understandable. But, yeah, you know, you talk about the Clippers with your big number. And, yeah, I think one of the biggest things of, you know, a lot of this struggle for them has been based on some of these trades that they made to go out and get these big-time players that, you know, whether they worked out or not. But, I mean, the Paul George deal in and of itself, you send SGA to OKC and all of these picks, and now you look at the recent years and just, you know, not a lot of draft capital to go and try to bring in young
Boy,
guys.
Boy, they paid dearly, didn't they?
I mean, they and they're still paying. I mean, you know,
we'll
OKC's going to have this 2026 first-round pick.
I guarantee Ballmer's in a snit over it.
Oh, you got to believe
That's
he is.
Snit, S-N-I-T. Yes.
So I don't know where they go from here. I mean, I think they have some nice pieces, but oh boy, it does feel like they have tried pretty much every single avenue they can to put out a successful team.
So you fire Tyron Lue. What's that going to do? Nah. I mean, who are you getting? What's he going to do?
That's a great question.
Hamstrung by those deals.
Mm-hmm.
Very hands-on owner.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough situation, and I just don't.
Owner that could be paying with the league.
Oh, he definitely could be. That's going to be one to watch. I saw after the game last night, there were a couple of maybe one or two questions about what was going on there to Kawhi early in the season. Of course, he didn't answer that. But yeah, I mean, your first round pick goes to OKC, and you know there was no deal for them to get another first round pick in this in this draft. So, you know, the Clippers, they're going to be without a first-round pick in this draft. So, you know, it's going to be really, really tough for them to start building for the future.
Golf picks. Who had Matt Fitzpatrick?
John did, I think.
Did he really?
Is he leading?
Well, he's having a good round. No, he shot 65. He's two back. But
that's pretty
great
good.
Day. We'll be right there.
Well, it's long.
Scotty Scheffler.
It's long weekend.
Kind of his struggling first rounds again.
That doesn't mean anything.
3 under.
Yeah.
65, 64 on the weekend. Get ready.
Oh, exactly. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's a long weekend. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah, it looks like John's in a pretty good spot yet again. But you know,
now was that John pick after the very clumsy phone issue?
And I, you know, you can call it whatever you want. I think there was some sort of there's something going on. I think there's something behind the scenes that we aren't privy to.
So we're accusing him of some sort of
cheating. Call it whatever you want. I'll call it cheating. I mean, I think there's some funny business going on. And look, I'm just saying it now. This is not even – we haven't even gotten through a second week of golf picks. If John Goen wins this year, I am appealing his
formal
win.
Declaration
I
of
mean,
it?
I'm taking this as far as I can because there's some funny business going on. We'll see.
Well, I know if it'll go far.
Well,
I don't really know who it goes in front of, but I don't know if it'll go very far.
I think you and Landon, so I hope that my teammates will be there for me, but I don't have a good feeling about it.
Boy, there's old Pat Murphy and the Brewers winning 2-1 today.
Yeah, and they needed that. They've been struggling.
They have been.
And so a much-needed win for them.
They'll get it right.
Oh, yeah, of course they will. They've got some nice pieces on that team. And so we'll see if maybe this win can get them onto a win streak. They certainly have some games coming up where they could rattle off some wins against the Marlins over the weekend and then the Tigers on the road, which will be tough before seeing the Pirates. So maybe getting to a point in the season where they can rattle off a couple of wins. But it's not like
my American League team, the A's, they're in first.
Yeah, and they're looking to try to.
Did you know they were my American League team?
I didn't, but I love that. They're not. Your American League team.
If I have one, it's still the Orioles, but I don't really have one.
That's fair, but. They're trying to come from behind against the Rangers right now, and maybe they've got bases loaded, two outs in the bottom of the eighth. And,
oh, you got it up. You're watching.
Oh yeah, no, I'm watching on. They actually just tied the game in the bottom of the eighth, so maybe they win again today against the Rangers.
You're getting that
story.
On the MLB stream?
Yes, I am.
I've got Rangers A's on the MLB Network.
Yeah, well, I don't get MLB Network, so I have to rely on
Nope, I don't either.
Oh, wow.
Blacked out for some reason. I guess I'm too close to Dallas.
No. I don't know why it'd be blacked out for you, because we're not in an area where you might be. I don't know. I wouldn't think that you would be in an area, but maybe. I have no idea. But,
oh, I know where I can get it. I can get it on my multi-box.
Exactly.
There it is. Now, just simply a quad box.
There you go. Well, yeah, because I know.
Well, really, just two games.
Exactly. Yeah. So there you go. So it's a little bigger for you. I lied. They took the lead. They didn't even tie the game. They took the lead. So how about that?
A's in front. Do you think the A's have turned up the green a little? That looks a little brighter, doesn't it?
It's green. It's green for sure.
They've always been green, but it was more Kelly green. You know, the TVs are better.
Sure. But I don't know. It's a color, that's for sure. It pops.
So have you completely abandoned your Rangers childhood days?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't dislike them. I'll watch them a little bit, but.
But the 2011 World Series still smarts, though, doesn't it?
Yo, yeah, no, it still makes me mad. I don't claim fandom as a Cardinal fan for that World Series because
Brian, if you knew how happy old Brett was.
Oh, I was very upset. I was very upset. But hey, congratulations, good for you.
Thank you.
It is what it is.
It was great.
Rangers ended up winning one after
I didn't think it would ever be topped as my favorite sports moment, but Sugar Bowl did it.
Hey, time moves on and things happen, so that's great to hear. But we need to wrap up this second hour, get to another break, and when we return for our third and final hour, we're talking Tigers. Greg Gaston, he joins us next.